Defensive dominance by the Arizona Cardinals yesterday. Overall dominance against the Tennessee Titans in week one of the NFL season. A 38-13 win over the Tennessee Titans. Completely convincing in every facet. And joining us right now on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line, one of the guys who was right in the middle of all of it, defensive lineman Corey Peters, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Corey, welcome back to the program. Thanks for your time on this Monday. We appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Corey, take me back to just last month, August, the beginning of August, when the Cardinals re-signed you and brought you back. I know for us, we're like, oh, that's a great thing. Corey's such a good player. But where were you at that point in your career? What were you thinking was going to happen to you this season before you signed with Arizona?
Oh, well, I was exploring opportunities, and I was pretty confident that, you know, I would be on the team. But I was really excited to be able to come back here, you know, because I think we have a really good team, and I thought it's an opportunity to chase a championship.
Yeah, and it leads to this and yesterday's domination. Tell me, from your perspective, how satisfying, for lack of a better word, it was to be out there in the midst of all of that yesterday, Corey.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun out there. I think we had a good plan. The coaching staff did a really good job of putting us in positions to be successful. We think we had a good camp, a good plan throughout camp, you know, to prepare for the preseason games, but also starting to, you know, get a look at what Tennessee did well and start working on them pretty much from the beginning. So, you know, I think we had a good plan and guys executed. And then you just had, you know, stellar performances like Chandler, who, you know, if you're going to have five sacks, then, you know, that's going to be a huge problem for the opposing team. And obviously it's going to put us in a great position.
Do you believe in setting the tone early really makes a big difference? When they come out, they run Derrick Henry and Chandler makes a tackle, 3-yard loss. And then they run him again and Hicks makes a tackle. And then you've got the pass breakup by Byron, 3 and out. Do you believe that set the tone for the defense?
Absolutely. You know, his first opportunity coming out the gate, especially in the season, everybody has an idea of how good they are or what type of team they are. But you never really know until you get an opportunity to test yourself against another team. So to come out and have early success is something to build off of. And I think the confidence just continues to go up, up, up. And I think you can see that in the way we continue to play.
Could you tell that they weren't confident in their ability to run the ball? It seemed like every time they gave the ball to Derrick Henry, 2,000 yards last year, you know, you guys just stymied him. I mean, you were all over the place. Everybody was making a tackle on Derrick Henry. I mean, it seemed like they probably lost some confidence in their ability to run the football successfully against you.
Well, you know, I think that's something we've definitely been working on this entire camp. And that's one of the things that, you know, we know we have to be successful, because if we get in third down situations, we're going to have success. So we really want to get in those third and long situations. So we know to do that, we have to be great against the run. So I think it's just been one of the focal points of, you know, this offseason, and one of the things that we spend a lot of time talking about and working on plans for. So I think everybody just did a good job of doing what they needed to do, and we had a good outcome.
Longtime Cardinal Corey Peters, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show. He had 2 tackles for loss yesterday, and you were about a half yard away.
Oh, don't bring it up.
I'm sorry, Corey. Well, no, I could tell you were avoiding it because we're 5 minutes into the conversation and you hadn't asked about it yesterday.
You know how much those defensive linemen love touchdowns.
So I'm going to go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off and ask Corey Peters about that half yard that you were away from scoring a touchdown. Now, you've got one in your career, right? So at least you can say you've had one, correct?
Right. Yeah, I have one, but, you know, I got to get it in the end zone. But, you know, it was a little bit of trouble. I never got fully up after I picked it up, so I was kind of stumbling a little bit. But next time we'll get it in.
Is it hard to, you're
335 pounds. Is it hard to get up in the air?
No, no, it's just that, you know, you're walking that fine line between, okay, the ball's on the ground, I want to pick it up, I don't want to mess this up. The number one thing is to maintain possession so that we, you know, keep the ball. And I could feel somebody coming on my left side, and I couldn't see who it was or whatever. So I just was, you know, just trying to make sure that I held on to the ball and didn't fumble.
So all scoring plays were subject to review where you're like, oh, man, they're going to review this and they're going to see that my knee was down. I mean, did you have a bad feeling when they started reviewing it, or were you pretty sure you were in the moment?
Well, when our offense started going onto the field, I pretty much knew that, you know, whoever called down from upstairs, it didn't look too good. So, you know, it is what it is. But next time, we're definitely going to get it in the end zone.
Take me inside the game, man. When Chandler's dominating, I mean, he blasted Tannehill on that one that you picked up. But, I mean, 5 sacks, I mean, could you sense that Ryan Tannehill was hearing footsteps every time he dropped back to pass?
You know, I mean, it definitely has to be something that he thinks about when somebody's having such success in quick order, you know, having 3 sacks in the first quarter. You know, but Chandler's been having a great camp, and he's been looking great in practice, you know, really at time being, you know, completely unblockable, which, you know, is not really anything new if we're being honest about it. But, you know, I'm looking for him to have a huge year. And we're going to need him to continue to be dominant if we're going to be the type of defense we want to be.
Is it hard to believe that, take the franchise tag out of it, is it hard to believe that Chandler Jones is scheduled to become an unrestricted free agent after this year?
Yeah, it is hard to believe. I think that, you know, if you look at the time he's been here, his numbers, you put him up against anybody in the league, and I think there's really no argument against him being, you know, the best pass rusher, best edge guy in the league. So, you know, take the hype out of it, take all of that out of it, look at the numbers, watch the tape, watch how he actually works his pass rush moves, and he's really unlike anybody else. It's really special to watch.
You know, we talked about this with Robert Alford not having played in 2 years, and with Marco Wilson being a rookie, and Byron even being real young. After Butler retired, we kind of felt like, man, is there more pressure on that the front seven to get pressure on the quarterback to alleviate some of the pressure on the secondary? Did you guys in the front seven feel that?
Well, I think we always talk about, you know, in order for this defense to work the way we all see it, the way it should, we have to help each other out. So, you know, the rush helps the coverage helps the rush. So different games call for different things. For example, this game we knew it was a heavy emphasis on run and stopping Derrick Henry. And that was heavy part of the game plan, and then getting them to third down and trying to create those opportunities to get home and sack the quarterback, which we did. And so each week is going to be, you know, a little bit different of a plan. But I think no matter how it shakes out, it's always going to have to be a full team effort. And, you know, making the quarterback hold a ball so we have that extra time to get there. And then rushing them at times so that, you know, when there maybe is holes in the coverage, we can't let them find those holes.
Wrapping things up with Corey Peters here from the Arizona Cardinals. The steadying influence of Jordan Hicks out there. There'd been so much conversation about him all month long, him and Zaven, and how that was going to work. From your perspective, what kind of command did Jordan Hicks have of the situation when he was out there commanding you guys?
Well, you know, that's one thing that we know about Jordan. He's a great leader. He's a great, you know, quarterback of defense and one of the really smart players that has a great feel for not only what he's doing, but for what everybody else is doing as well. And, you know, I think he's handled everything this offseason, you know, like a true professional, like a true leader, you know, something that we all respect and admire. So, you know, having him out there, you know, it's always great. And, you know, everybody really feeds off him and really appreciates the leadership he brings.
All right, leave me with this one. J.J. Watt, first game as an Arizona Cardinal. You know, the big numbers weren't there, but you could sense that his presence was felt on that defense. What could you tell me about how he played?
I think, you know, having J.J. is a great addition. Obviously, his resume speaks for itself. And, you know, just his presence on the field really helps all of us. It creates more one-on-one opportunities across the board. And he was disruptive at times. Sometimes the stat sheet doesn't always show, you know, the force that you are in the game. But I think he definitely was flashing disruptions and making plays in the backfield. And I look for him to do that more.
Sorry to have to be the bad guy to ask you about that touchdown, Corey. I really feel bad
Hey, I wasn't going to. I was going to let it slide.
I had to do the dirty work, so I apologize for that. Thanks for coming on for a few. We really appreciate it, okay?
All right, thanks for having me.
You guys, Corey Peters joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Coulter Infinity, luxury cars, legendary service. Visit coulterinfinity.com. You really were going to make me be the bad guy on that one, weren't you?
I probably would have hit it eventually. But
you were just not going to bring that up at all, were you?
Defensive lineman, man. That's like a gigantic porterhouse steak staring in front of them when they get close to that goal line. They have the ball in their hands.
They fell down. That's too bad. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, on both sides of the ball, complete dominant performance by the Cardinals, and there were plenty of plays that helped the blowout win along. Big Red reacts. We relive the game next on the Burns and Gambo show.
Burns and Gambo. Big Red reacts. Reaction to yesterday's Cardinals game.
Boy, you talk about fun to watch.
Brought to you by Alaska Federal Credit Union.
We relive the game yesterday, 38-13. The Arizona Cardinals demolished the Tennessee Titans to improve to 1-0 on the season in their opener. These are the top plays. These were the top moments that defined the game. I'll play them. Gambo will react to them. Tennessee goes 3-and-out to begin the game. Cardinals would march down the field, but with a bunch of penalties, the drive would stall. Matt Prater, the field goal in the 3-0 lead, leading 3-0. Chandler Jones would get the sack. Party started on the next possession.
Second and 11 at the 19. Tannehill takes, fakes the run in trouble. Gets hit. Chandler Jones forces a fumble. It's picked up by Corey Peters, and he's into the end zone for the touchdown. Chandler Jones is all over the field.
After reviewing the play, the rule on the field is that there was a fumble recovered by the defense, but the defense was stopped short of the goal line. It'll be first and goal from that spot.
Boy, we're really rubbing it into Corey Peters today, aren't we?
Yeah.
Jeez.
No big deal, right? You're at the 1 yard line. No, because after a false start penalty and an incomplete, it's third and goal at the 6. Like, you can't come away with a field goal.
Nope.
You're at the 1 yard line. You can't get a field goal.
They didn't.
Snap to Murray, straight drop back. Feeling pressure. Flushed out of the pocket to the right, now throws back across the middle, and it's caught in the back of the end zone by Hopkins, and he got his feet down for the touchdown. What a catch, and what balance and awareness as D-Hop touched him. And the Cardinals finally get into the end zone.
He's running across the back of the end zone, and he kind of like goes towards the end line, and then goes to create that separation. It was so remarkable to watch that play over again, to see how he was able to shake the defender. Because he's running straight and he realizes he got it. So I'm going to just do a little left turn towards the back of the end zone.
Yeah.
And that guy's going to go there. And then I'm going to... He found an unbelievable way to create separation.
There were so many things that were remarkable about that play. Kyler Murray's throw was remarkable. What you're talking about was as well. And just the presence of mind to catch the ball if you're D-Hop. And then immediately look down at the ground to make sure you got your feet in bounds. It was another impressive catch by DeAndre Hopkins. And then early in the second quarter, it would happen again. Kyler Murray to DeAndre Hopkins.
Snap to Murray. Quick throw over the middle. Hopkins has a catch at the 10. Turns to his left at the 5 and hits Pater. Touchdown, DeAndre Hopkins. His second of the first half. And the run after the catch was a thing of beauty as he turned the defender around to get into the end zone.
I think that Kevin Byard had to go back after the game was over to get the jockstrap that he left on the field right there.
Just juked him out
because,
of his socks,
his jockstrap actually ended up on the ground after that play. You may not have seen it, but it happened, trust me.
Yeah, it was an incredible play. 17-0 Arizona, but then with 6:50 left in the first half, trailing 17-0, the Titans would get on the scoreboard for the first time on this Ryan Tannehill keeper.
Third and goal from the 1. Blassen game, the fullback, Henry behind him. Tannehill takes, play fake, and now Tannehill steps up to run, dives, and is in for the touchdown. Smart play by Ryan Tannehill, and the Titans are on the board with 6:50 to go in the second quarter.
Now, you knew they were in trouble. On that drive, they had to have a flea flicker that went to Rodgers for 39 yards. They had to like open up the playbook and try to get something, because they couldn't do anything normal against the Cardinals. They had to go to the flea flicker.
Yeah, but then the next possession by the Cardinals, it was the Kyler Murray show. This rabbit out of the hat.
Listen to the crowd here in Nashville. Empty set. They got a snap at 1 on the play clock to get the play off. Murray back to throw. Has to leave the pocket on the right side. Now cuts back to the left to run. He's at the 10-yard line. He's at the 15. steps back. He can throw and does. Far side, adjusting is Moore. Oh, and he's got the ball at the 43-yard line for a first down and 18-yard gain. What an incredible play by Kyler Murray.
He's on third down,
third
too.
And 10. Yeah.
Third and 10. And then it was a third and 6 a couple plays later. He hit Kirk for 22 yards. Beat Byard, the guy whose jockstrap was on the ground. They went after that Byard guy all day long.
So on the same drive, the Cardinals would unveil the Megawatt formation. Lucky foe to J.J. Watt, and it was all just a ruse.
J.J. Watt is lined up in the backfield with Fotu. They fake it and run Murray to the right. He sticks the ball out, walks into the end zone, pitches it to the official. It's a 2-yard touchdown run. That's J.J. Watt eye candy on the left side. It leads to Murray hitting pay dirt on the right side.
I think he actually went into the stands to get a Dr. Pepper before he actually went into the end zone. He had enough time.
Yeah, you think so?
If he wanted to, yeah.
Cardinals would go into the half up 24-6. They would get the second half kickoff instead of extending their lead. Kyler Murray, one of his few mistakes.
Snap to Murray, little half roll to the right. Waiting, looking, moving to his left, backing up, still backing up, fires over the middle. It's picked off by Byard at the 40, running left to the 30 and tackled there. Bad decision by Kyler Murray. First turnover of the season, and the Titans in business early in the third.
And it would lead to this.
Tannehill in shotgun on first down at the 13. Snap to Tannehill. Here's a blitz off the edge. Tannehill throws middle of the field, end zone, touchdown. A.J. Brown pulls it in. Jalen Thompson in coverage. The Titans, though, take advantage of the Murray interception.
Titans cut it to 11 there. It was the only glimmer of hope they had all game long. But it quickly went by the wayside on the Cardinals' next possession.
It did, and it happened very, very quickly. And marching all the way down the field did Kyler Murray and the Cardinals, capping off the drive with this 26-yard rainbow pass from Murray to Kirk.
Snap to Murray, straight drop back, and throws a fade deep right side over the shoulder. Catch by Kirk in the end zone for a touchdown. Kyler Murray sprinted backwards, a 10-step drop, and then just lobbed it up into the air over the shoulder of Christian Kirk. He couldn't see the ball until it landed in his hands for a touchdown.
How many times did we practice that exact same play when we were kids?
Right.
You throw it up. I'm going to run. I'm not going to look at you. And I'm just put it in my arms.
Yeah.
Put it there. I'm not going to look back. Kirk called it the Willie Mays catch. I'm surprised these guys know who Willie Mays is, but he did call it the Willie Mays catch, and it was. But it's something as kids, you would practice that exact same route all day long.
It was that play that prompted one of many LeBron James tweets from the day. Kyler Murray on one today. Sheesh, man. 4 touchdowns so far. Still 10 minutes in the third. And then Chandler Jones, not wanting to get overshadowed by his quarterback, would strike again.
Clock at 3. Snap to Tannehill. Straight drop back. Hit by Jones, fumbles the ball, it's loose, kicked around far side, and recovered by the Cardinals. Another sack, Chandler Jones is 4, tying a career high. He forces his second fumble, and the Cardinals recover the ball.
You know, right before that, too, the previous Tennessee possession was an interception by Isaiah Simmons. So you had the interception by Isaiah Simmons, and you had that sack, you know, by Chandler Jones, and then the Cardinals just put this thing away.
Connor in the backfield with Murray. 3rd and 4 on the Titan 11-yard line. Cardinals lead by 18. Snap to Murray. Drops back to throw. Fires right side of the end zone. Back shoulder. Kirk adjusts beautifully and pulls it in for the touchdown. Christian Kirk with his second touchdown, and the Cardinals lead it 37-13.
You know who's on the coverage on that one?
The guy whose jockstrap is still on the field?
Kevin Byard.
Yeah.
And he had a bad day.
Yeah, he did have a bad day.
Middle Tennessee State, Kevin Byard. He had a bad day.
And then I know one of your favorite parts of the game at that point, the Arizona Cardinals just able to run the ball so effectively in the fourth quarter. I don't have any highlights to play, but just their ability to control clock, run the 4-minute offense, it was a thing of beauty. They were able to keep the ball away from the Titans.
Yeah, you got a back like James Conner who you can forget about the yards per carry. You give the ball to him and just let him pound it and pound it and pound it. He doesn't fumble the football. He holds on to it. Really loved the way that the running backs were able to put that game away.
That is our Big Red Reacts on this Monday afternoon. You can text Red C right now to 620-620 and then listen for your name today at 3:35. You could win a pair of tickets to the Cardinals home opener on Sunday, plus one grand prize winner will score an autographed Kyler Murray jersey courtesy of Pristine Auction. That's Red C It's a 620-620. Wasn't just DeAndre Hopkins making plays out there in that Cardinals passing game. Everybody was getting involved and made plays out of the Cardinals wide receiver room yesterday. We'll tell you about it next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Third down and six on the 41 of Tennessee. Empty set. Edmonds to the right with Green. Three receivers left. Snap to Kyler. Straight drop back. Murray looks deep. Floats it near side. And adjusting is Kirk. And he makes the grab inside the 20 at the 18-yard line. Despite getting bumped as the ball arrived, it's a first down and a gain of 24.
We've sat here all day. Not all day. I mean, we've been on the air since 2. But ever since 2 o'clock, it's been, man, this guy played great. That guy played great. This unit played
great. Yeah, we don't
great.
Have a long enough show, man.
We
to
really
talk
don't.
About everybody who played great.
We really
Look,
don't.
You guys all played great, okay? Like, to do it individually, it was too many guys.
There was. So what we've tried to do is do it by position groups.
Okay.
And we probably shortchanged the defense a little bit because we just sort of talked about, you know, okay, here's Chandler Jones, and then we did a segment where we said, here's everybody else on defense who did great. That probably does them a little bit of an injustice.
I mean, that one guy had 5 sacks.
Two
forced fumbles.
He gets his own segment. He gets his own segment. The wide receivers also get their own segment if we're going to talk about how good yesterday was. There were some fantastic individual achievements, there's no question. DeAndre Hopkins stands out. That incredible catch in the back of the end zone. The incredible spin move in which, you know, Byard left pieces of his equipment all over the field and just getting faked out trying to. But it wasn't just D-Hop. That was one of Christian Kirk's best moments as a member of the Cardinals organization.
He had a game a few years ago against Tampa Bay. Had 3 touchdowns against Tampa Bay a few years ago. He's had some really good games. Consistently, like, he's been a decent player. But we've been all been waiting. You know, what can Christian Kirk step up? Is he gonna get beat out by Rondale Moore? Look, you need four wide receivers in this offense. You need 4 wide receivers. There's plenty of ball to go around for 4 wide receivers. The 5th guy, not so much.
Yeah.
But for the 4 wide receivers, Christian Kirk had himself a game yesterday.
He sure did.
Return of the Red Sea.
It is time for our Return of the Red Sea winner, Andrew Curtis from Scottsdale. You have 10 minutes to call 602-260-9870. Get your tickets to the Cardinals home opener and qualify for the autographed Kyler Murray jersey. If Andrew doesn't call within 10 minutes, we'll open up the phone lines, get somebody else. You didn't hear your name. You can still win by texting Red Sea to 620-620 and then listen for your name tomorrow in the 7 a.m. hour. But right now, Andrew Curtis from Scottsdale, you have 10 minutes to call 602-260-9870. We're rooting for you, Andrew. You're right about Christian Kirk.
He's had some good games.
He has. And I didn't say it was his best game. It was one of his best games. And certainly he's had his moments. But I thought he performed very, very well, given that this is a contract year for him. Boy, we keep talking about Chandler Jones.
Unrestricted free agent.
Yeah, it's Christian contract Kirk. Year for Chandler Jones. So Christian Kirk, too. And mm-hmm. He's looking to make some money as well. And I thought his initial step into the 2021 season was a real good one. Let's talk about Rondale Moore.
Wow.
16 yards after the catch is what he averaged in yesterday's game. And our friends over at Pro Football Focus, and I haven't brought this up yet, but you saw the same thing I did. They did a position-by-position write-up of the Cardinals and how they performed yesterday.
Yep.
And they wrote about the receivers, and they wrote about Hopkins. He was obviously the best Cardinals wideout. Christian Kirk caught all 5 of his targets for 70 yards and 2 touchdowns. Listen to this little nugget about Rondale Moore. He finished with 4 catches, 68 yards. He also forced 2 missed tackles and gained 64 of his 69 yards after the catch. Oh.
I got very excited about him early on. Being able to look at some of the film that's going on, you know, through practices and games and stuff, I got very excited about him. Now, you know, rightfully so, like, tap the brakes. Don't get too excited.
I'm the brake tapper on the Burns
the
and Gambo
yeah,
show.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah,
I'm the brake tapper.
Yeah, I step on the gas. And the things that I was showing you some of the things that I was saying.
Just okay, if you're driving in your car right now and it's safe to do so, just look at your feet. Gambo's the pedal on the right, I'm the pedal on the left. All right?
Yes.
That's the Burns and Gambo show. Mm. This is us. He's the pedal on the right. I'm the pedal on the left.
Yes, you tap the brakes. But I would show you, like, hey, look at this film that I got on Ron Dimble. Look at this. Look at this play. Look at this play. And I'd show you some of the things. Like, wow. I was getting very excited about him, right? And you tap the brakes. Rightfully so. I'm not saying you're wrong. Okay, we don't need the brakes anymore. Okay, we don't need the brakes. We don't need the brakes. This kid's legit. This kid is legit. Oh, my God. He is electric. He's dynamic. You know my favorite play of the game? My favorite play of the whole game.
I don't think you mentioned this yet. What is your favorite play of the game?
Titans just score after the interception. Here's my favorite play. There was so many great plays, but here's my favorite play.
Okay.
Titans just score to make it 24-13, right? Kyler throws the interception. They put the ball in the end zone, and it's an 11-point game. It's early, second half, early, and the Titans are within 11. First play. First play. You see it?
I do.
You see it?
Low snap. Rondell Moore scoots down the field for a huge gain. I believe it was a 29-yard gain.
29 yards. Yeah, it was a quick throw. Quick throw, and then bang.
Shoom. Gone.
Shoom. Yeah. 29 yards down the field. Led to a touchdown by the Cardinals, and the Cardinals went up 31-13. They started that drive by giving it to Rondell Moore, and he took the Cardinals from the 25-yard line into Tennessee territory on one play.
Yeah.
On one play, they went from their own 25-yard line into Tennessee territory. This kid is special. I am so excited for what he could bring to this offense because that speed. I'm a defensive coordinator right now, and I'm looking at the tape of the car. I'm the Vikings. I'm like, jeez. Okay.
Yep.
Like, okay. He, every time he touches the ball, he's a threat. He's a threat.
Yep.
He's a threat to go and, all the way.
And the
How many guys can you say that about?
And the threat of him touching the ball is a threat and will become something that defensive coordinators will have to deal with. I mean, just his presence on the field and how he starts to open things up, right? I mean,
64 of his yards were after the catch.
Yeah. I'm gonna say something here, and I'm going to quote him because he's a friend of the show, and he used to work for azcardinals.com, and he doesn't anymore. He now writes for, and I want to make sure I get this right because he's a friend, sports and gambling editor for compare.bet.
Kyle Odegaard.
Kyle Odegaard.
Did a great job with the Cardinals.
He did a really good job for azcardinals.com. He was definitely the yin to Darren Urban's yang. There's no doubt about that. Kyle Odegaard tweeted this morning, "I know Larry Fitzgerald is an icon, but the Cardinals were hamstrung with him in the slot last year. Now that Rondell Moore and Christian Kirk are there, Cliff Kingsbury's scheme can flourish." Dan Bickley, our own Dan Bickley, retweeted it and called it a brave take in Arizona.
But it's a correct take.
Because Kyle's basically saying the offense is better with minus Fitz plus Rondell Moore.
He's right.
I have a hard time disputing it.
With Fitz as a main slot guy, I think Kyle's right. Could Fitz help a team win? Sure. As a fourth or fifth wide receiver,
yeah,
he can come in. Larry's no longer capable of being a number one or a number two. Could he still help a team? No, I'm sure that he could. But for what the Cardinals want to do,
out of their slot receiver position specifically,
Kyle Odegaard's right. He's right.
Rondell Moore has the ability to run after the catch that Larry Fitzgerald simply doesn't possess anymore, and that threat, the threat of that threat.
It's hard for people to talk about Larry in that way, which is why Bickley said, what did Bick say?
Brave take. This is a brave take in Arizona.
Yeah.
And I read it, and I...
What were
and
the
I
comments
gotta...
under his take? Did you read any of the comments?
Nope, I didn't.
Because you just want, like, if you think about it real... Okay, Jordan, you are a diehard Cardinal fan, right? You love Fitz.
Absolutely.
What do you think about that take?
I think he's 100% correct.
It's 100% correct.
And I did read some of the comments. There was a few people that were understandably taken aback with that opinion, but there were quite a few that were agreeing with the opinion of Kyle Odegaard.
Yeah. I mean,
like, you have to, like, you can't be blind to it, man. You just got to look. You are right. But there's such a love for Larry that you almost don't want to admit it. People just don't want to admit that. Oh, how can we be better off with this rookie than Larry? How can we be? Come on. This guy, you just don't want to believe it. It's true. You just don't want to believe it.
Text us your thoughts on all of this. The FanDuel text line. It is available for you right now. 620-620 is where you can text us on the FanDuel text line.
What was that free dinner last night?
At 620-660.
Larry!
These are the things that we will not discuss on the air.
Larry!
But
FanDuel might have helped pay for a dinner last night. That's all I'm saying. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo
show.
Your
wife was a big winner, too.
She was. It's a good thing the Cardinals started their season the right way with a win, because the rest of the NFC West division looked strong yesterday. We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo show. We did not get a winner, Gambo. We did not get a winner.
What the hell?
Andrew Curtis did not call in, which
Andrew,
means...
What are you doing right now, Andrew? Like working?
You're killing us. Come on, man. You should be listening to the radio, not working. Andrew Curtis's window is closed, which means caller number 10 at 602-260-9870. You stand to benefit from the fact that Andrew Curtis did not call up and claim his tickets for the return to the Red Sea this weekend. The home opener for the Arizona Cardinals taking on the Minnesota Vikings. If you're caller number 10 at 602-260-9870, you will win Andrew's ticket. Sorry, Andrew, that's the way things go. You can still win. Text the word Red Sea to 620-620. And then tomorrow in the 7 a.m. hour, we will give away another pair of tickets to the home opener for the Cardinals and the return to the Red Sea Sunday, 1 o'clock, against the Minnesota Vikings, the return of Patrick Peterson. All right. We take a brief break from the Arizona Cardinals to take a look around the Arizona Cardinals division. And it was...
It's brutal.
It's brutal. It's brutal. I mean, it was... Okay, here's your NFC West. They're all 1-0. The AFC West has a chance to join them if the Raiders beat the Ravens tonight in Monday Night Football. But everybody's 1-0. The Cardinals won by 25. The Rams won by 20. The Seahawks won by 12. The 49ers won by 8. Where do you want to start when we're talking NFC West? Up to
Let's start with Seattle.
Okay, let's start with Seattle.
All right.
They beat the Indianapolis Colts 28-16 yesterday, the debut of Russell Wilson working with his new offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron, and it was a very, very good debut. Wilson, 4 touchdown passes, no picks, 18-23 for 254 yards. He was terrific.
Yeah, and it was that was the team I was looking at, and I said, okay, if there's any weak link in this division, I'm going to go with Seattle this year. Now, it's one game. But their new look offense dazzled. Like they were good. They moved the ball up and down the field. Wilson was solid, you know, in the game. So they're very excited about what they had. Tyler Lockett was great. The running game was great. I thought that might have been an opening. Now they play Tennessee this week. So let's see if Tennessee bounces back and plays better. If Seattle beats Tennessee, because now I'm looking at, you know, I look at now like, okay, Cardinals beat Tennessee. Can Tennessee beat the Rams? Can Tennessee beat the 49ers? Can Tennessee beat Seattle? Can, you know, maybe, because that's what you can gain.
It's a good way of looking at it.
You can,
right?
You can gain. If you win against this team and they can't, then that's an advantage for you. But Seattle was the surprise to me because I wasn't expecting them to play as well as they did.
They slowed down a little bit in the second half. They punted the ball 3 times. Chris Carson lost a fumble on their first 4 second half possessions. They weren't able to kind of keep that early momentum they had, but you know, Russell Wilson after the game just raving about the offense.
There's nothing we can't do, and so I think that it always starts with the offensive line. They did a great job tonight, and then I think from there we got a lot of playmakers. You know, we got a lot of guys that can catch the football and make plays and also run it really well. Chris Carson had a great night too, running the ball physical too as well. So we can get better. That's a good thing.
On Sunday Night Football, it was the Rams over the Chicago Bears, and I was very worried the minute the Rams acquired Matthew Stafford, because you just kind of wondered if this was going to be the perfect marriage of offensive coach and quarterback, and getting him out of Detroit might be the best thing for him. Matthew Stafford looked very, very comfortable behind the wheel of that offense last night.
He did. And you look at what they did and getting the ball to, you know, Cooper Kupp, that when they took that 20-7 lead on that 56-yard touchdown to Cooper Kupp, that was fantastic. And then, you know, the pass to Robert Woods late in the fourth quarter. I mean, 20-26 for Stafford, 321 yards, 3 touchdowns. Now, the Super Bowl this year is at SoFi Stadium. Is that what it's called? SoFi Stadium,
yes, sir.
So last year, Tampa had the Super Bowl there. And now this year, the Rams could have the Super Bowl there. You know, it was an impressive debut.
It was.
I mean, they traded Goff and 2 first-round picks to go get Matthew Stafford. He's been in the league for 12 years. He was stuck in Detroit. and they got him out of there, and all of a sudden now McVay has, you know, has got the quarterback he needs to run the offense that he wants to run.
Yeah, here's McVay after the game.
I think it was just his steady demeanor throughout the course of the game, just like you had hoped you had, you know, would see that you had seen in practice and that you had seen from afar. But I think the second drive, their first drive of the second half, was what I thought was the most impressive. But now I'm thinking about what an unbelievable job he did progressing, finding Robert Woods on the last touchdown. So there was multiple things, but I think the overall game management, and I think the expectation, you know, you could just see there was a look in his eye. He had confidence in his teammates. He expected to play well. And you know, he did a great job. I was, it's hard to say that there was one thing, Jim, I loved everything that he did tonight.
And then the 49ers jumped up big on the Detroit Lions. They had a 38-10 lead early in the fourth quarter. That had to hang on for dear life. I flipped over to that game as soon as the Cardinals game was done, and I watched Jared Goff as they, you know, turned the ball over on downs at the end. The Lions scored 23 points in about 3 minutes to get within eight. San Francisco holds on to win. We saw a lot of Jimmy Garoppolo. We saw a little bit of Trey Lance. But the injuries for San Francisco, losing Jason Verrett, one of their cornerbacks, are a little banged up now at the cornerback spot, and that's something to keep an eye on for them.
I think the Verrett injury is one that's that could really do them in. I mean, I was, you know, he was covering a wide receiver from Detroit, and you know, he got hurt on that play. He's such a good player for them, and when he's healthy, he's, you know, he's considered just, you know, one of the better cornerbacks, defensive backs in the league when he's healthy. He signed with San Fran in 2019. If he's now, apparently they might have to bring back Richard Sherman now, who's 33 years old. But without Verrett, I think that that's a blow, right? Mostart got hurt with a knee injury, but the injury to Jason Verrett, one of their key cornerbacks, that could come back to really hurt the 49ers.
Yeah, they've signed Dre Kirkpatrick, former
Arizona Cardinals.
I mean, they were talking about Richard Sherman and potentially bringing him back. The Mostert thing is interesting. He is going to go on the IR. He's going to be on there approximately 8 weeks with torn knee cartilage. Darren Urban points out that given the schedule and the way it breaks, there's a chance Mostert would miss both of the games against the Arizona Cardinals, right, depending on how long it takes him to recover from that. Now, they did get decent play yesterday from rookie running back Elijah Mitchell. Yep. He stepped in for Mostert. He had 104 yards on 19 carries.
He had that big touchdown run.
Yeah, that 38-yard touchdown run as well. So they leaned on a rookie. But, man, we've seen injuries undo the San Francisco 49ers, and you can't help but to wonder. I know it's just week one, but with what's going on at the cornerback position, what's going on with the running back position, you wonder if that's going to be like a recurring theme for them.
They got Trey Lance in the game. He hit Trent Sherfield on a 5-yard play-action pass. Right away, but he is the first rookie to throw a touchdown on his first pass attempt since Matt Ryan in 2008. So they got him in the game a little bit. Garoppolo was the main starter, like we expected, but they found a way to get Trey Lance a few reps, and that's probably how it's going to go the first few weeks.
David Porras, congratulations, David. You are the winner of the Return to the Red Sea tickets. Thank you very much for listening, and enjoy the game on Sunday. When we come back, not only did the Cardinals win, they dismantled a team that a lot of people thought could be a Super Bowl contender. So, are our expectations changed? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.